This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, 2 hours gone, 1 hour still to go. That means we've got 60 minutes of the big show, and you've got Barry, Nick, and Joel till 4, then you got the Blitz till 7, and it's all right here on ESPN 97.5.
Fizzive!
We've covered a lot of ground already today, fellas.
We have.
Before we get to any change of topics.
Like basketball.
Yeah, a little basketball, a little hoop
sport.
Talk. We now know who's
love the way
the finals.
They dribble up and down the court.
Thank you, Curtis Blow.
All right.
Before we get to any of that, though, Chris has been waiting patiently. He wanted to chime in on Astros pitchers. Chris, what's up?
You're looking at Larry Durker and Joe Niekro. I think Joe Niekro holds the Astros record with 144 wins.
Okay.
That's great. That doesn't mean that Joe Niekro was better than Nolan Ryan.
But he did have a longer career with the Astros.
Doesn't matter. Who are you taking if you're drafting from strictly Astros people that have pitched for the Astros? Who's your number one pick?
Oh,
is it Joe Niekro?
I'm a Nolan Ryan fan through and through. There's no doubt about it. But like you said, top Astros pitchers.
Yeah, it's
but not statistically. They were asking who was the best Astros pitcher of all time. It's Nolan Ryan. Doesn't matter who wins.
It just depends. We always go through this debate when it's talking about MVPs and it's talking about Hall of Fame. And even something like this, if we don't know all the criteria,
Chris, if you're taking an Astros pitcher, who are you taking first?
I'm taking Nolan Ryan.
Who are you taking second?
Second, I'd probably go with Roy O.
Okay, who are you taking third?
Third, you're going to go with Verlander.
See, so we could do this for probably 15 to 20 picks before you pick Joe Niekro.
True, but you got to go with Larry Durker as your number four.
I don't see. Here's the thing: you're missing
Randy Johnson.
You're missing Randy Johnson and Roger Clemens
and Andy Pettit.
Well, that's true.
Appreciate the call, Chris.
Thanks, Chris.
It was a valiant effort. It was, you got some other names thrown in there. At least this is a team that's had really good pitching throughout the years. You would think that would be a basic statement to say about any major league team, but I mean, there are some teams that don't have a plethora of arms like the Astros have had. I mean, there are teams that have had good pitchers, but the Astros have been pretty lucky in the number of top end arms that they've had.
Right.
Because you can name the Padres. You mentioned Kevin Brown.
Yep.
Name me five Padres arms that would rival the top five for the Astros, and we just named some.
One of them's a reliever. Trevor Hoffman, right
off
the top.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Astros, we've been pretty fortunate as a baseball town that we are.
Dave Dravecki was effective.
Wow. Dave Dravecki. Nice pull, my friend.
Thank you very much.
That was very well done.
Okay, so we know who's in the finals.
Yes.
Obviously, disappointment in my hometown, but the Bucks did not deserve to be
there
after blowing two 15-point leads. Yes, they did.
Mm.
So now Giannis storms out of his press conference, not happy with the questioning of what's going to happen going forward, what he needs to work on, things like that. Going to be an interesting offseason. And then, of course, with the finals getting ready to start Thursday, the news comes out Kevin Durant won't be available for game one. They're not even sure he's going to travel and play in the first two. So they're thinking he might be eligible to play game three. Boogie Cousins has been elevated to questionable.
Mm.
But overall, does it matter?
I really don't think it does.
Someone texted me yesterday and said, I want your finals prediction. I said, Warriors in six. They said, if KD plays, Warriors in five.
Mm. Yeah.
In my mind.
Okay. You think it's that big of a difference between the two
teams? I think
the
matchups are such that it's just, I don't think Toronto matches up very well with all the different options Golden State has and the way they like to play, because Milwaukee wasn't able to do what Toronto doesn't want you to do. Golden State is going to do that. They're going to run.
Does it surprise you then that Toronto is still favored at home, even if it's only by a point?
No, because of the fact that it's game one and it's at their first finals ever, and their home crowd is fantastic. I can see that. But if I'm going with just purely for my heart and for the underdog role, I get it. But if I'm putting any kind of money on it, I'm not going to worry about 1 point.
Ooh. I take that back. So I was looking at ESPN.com.
Uh-huh.
The line on ESPN.com, if you go to GameCast, it's got Toronto minus one.
I had seen the opening line at one.
They're a minus 115. The Warriors are a minus 105 on the money line. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Go to MyBookie, pull up the line, Warriors minus one.
See, if it's already changing, yeah.
Raptors are a plus one at home. Money lines over there is a minus 110 each. So, I mean, people are saying, I mean, I guess what that's telling you is Vegas thinks that this is even money at home, basically.
Okay.
So
we'll
you
see.
Go with the home team? I mean, if you could. Then...
I'm putting money I'm putting on Golden State, and I think Golden State's going to send a message in game one. They're playing. The only thing is the rust versus rest.
Yeah.
Philosophy.
Right. How much credit do you give, though, to, like you said, there's. They've been awful wild, used to rust versus rest, and you know that Toronto's kind of in the mode that they're in. They're hot right now. Kawhi, I mean, is playing out of his mind.
Does the injury get better or worse?
Well, I mean, he has had a couple days off, and it doesn't start till Thursday, so we'll have a few more.
Sure, but you don't know if it's something that is rest and therapy related to where it can be ready by Thursday or if it's something more serious.
I mean, it didn't seem to bother him against Milwaukee in those last couple of games.
He for the first three quarters, he was definitely conserving a lot of energy.
Sure.
And then just went off. But just the way he took off on the opposite leg, some of those things, I knew that he willed, you know, there's no doubt, he willed them to that series win.
Uh-huh.
But now you're starting a new series, and it could go seven games. I'm just worried about how much longer that, whatever it is, if it's a knee, if it's a quad, whatever it is, how long he can stay being that effective if he is truly hurt.
So he will have had five days off?
Essentially.
It's a long time
sure
to get
is, but
rest.
You could also say that
and,
with Kevin Durant, but he's still not going to play.
Yeah, I think, though, the severity, though.
I told you guys, any calf injury is a month.
Yeah.
So, well, it'll be interesting to see.
Who you got in the... You've got,
Warriors
in
six.
Nicholas?
I think the game will go... I think it will go seven games, but I still think the Warriors will win.
Yeah.
I just think Kawhi is playing at an unprecedented level, and he's shown that he can put a team on his back better than a lot of players in this league. Let's just be honest. So I just feel like it'll be a competitive series. And I want to say a couple things about Giannis, too, just only because I think this is only a good thing for Giannis and this Bucks team. Mm-hmm. Because, yeah, it's disappointing that they lost the last, was it four games in the series?
Four straight, yeah.
He just has to develop a little bit more. And once he does, they add one or two pieces to this team. Milwaukee's legit. I'm not even just trying to say this.
No, I told you guys already.
This team is legit.
Yep. I told you they were a year away. That's why I wasn't going to pick them to win the East this year.
Uh-huh.
But the big thing is this offseason, because you're right. Two things have to happen. Giannis has to develop a jump shot. He's got to work in the gym the entire offseason on the one missing element of his game. And two, what they do with the guys that are free and what they do with one guy who's not. Bledsoe, if you can find a home for that guy, I don't care, all defensive team or not, playoff time is when you really see the cream rise to the crop. He just looked like square peg, round hole a little bit. That they need a more consistent guard presence to be around Giannis. And then you've got some other contracts. You've got Tony Snell making $12 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need that. And Chris Middleton, do you bring him back? Or do you think that you can use the money and convince another bigger time free agent to come to Milwaukee?
Yeah, I think both of you guys are pretty accurate in what you're saying, because they showed that you see most teams kind of go through this. You see the rise slowly. No teams are just going to go from nothing to a championship like that. Like, you see a building. Take the Astros, for example. 2015, they made an improbable run that most people weren't expecting them to do in the playoffs, and then lost to Kansas City, who eventually went on and won the World Series. But they showed signs. 2 years later, they won a World Series. You have to first figure out, do you have the core nucleus to be a good team?
Right.
And then you add the key pieces. And I think now, after the season, Milwaukee knows they have the core. Now they've got to go get the right role players and the right pieces around Giannis. And I think that they can make that
happen. Take the Rockets against the Sonics in 93.
Mm-hmm.
They took the Sonics to the brink. A lot of people thought they should have won that series. That was their coming out party, and that was the start, like you said, of them breaking the door down so that the next 2 years in a row, they would win the title. But before that series against the Sonics, people thought, yeah, they were okay. They had Olajuwon. But were they really that good? And then, boom, I think Chaney got out. Rudy got in. Rudy turned it around a little bit. That there were some questionable things that happened in that Sonic series where they could have won. But at the end of the year, everybody went, you know what? That Rockets team, they got enough talent to do something. So and then they put it together. So let's hope that's the case. Because in the Eastern Conference, with LeBron not there anymore, from year to year, it's a wide-open race. And if Kawhi does leave, it's one less team you got to worry about.
I was waiting for this because you knew it was coming, but somebody I saw on Twitter that was like, yeah, Toronto made it because LeBron left. Well, also, you had a changing of the superstars on that team, too, from DeRozan to Kawhi. You got...
It's a big-time move.
You got a lot better.
Let me say, Masai Urigi needs to get all the credit in the world because as a general manager, he took the biggest gamble in the world rolling the dice on that move. And it paid off, and it was the only way it could pay off was that there's only one thing better, that's winning it all. But getting that team to the finals, making the move he made with such a popular superstar in DeMar DeRozan, knowing that there was a really good chance Kawhi could skip town and you get nothing except for 1 year of Kawhi, and the fact that it's turned out like this, and he made another gutsy move by trading his young big man to get Marc Gasol, who's helped out as well. He pulled all the right strings and played all the right cards, so he should get a lot of credit.
Good point. I mean, it was a big risk. It was a big gamble.
No doubt about it.
You were basically, like you said, you were rolling the dice for 1 year, and you know what? That paid off, and now they're in the finals, and anything could happen.
Yeah,
I don't think they're winning, but you know what? You got to get there to have a chance.
You can't win unless you're in it. They're in it.
Exactly right. And don't sleep on Siakam and how big of a player he's meant, how much he's meant to this team. Without him, I don't think they're here. I mean, I really don't.
Him and Van Vliet. And the fact of the matter is, we looked at it after two games. There was a 50-point difference between the Milwaukee bench and the Toronto bench, advantage Milwaukee. From that point forward, they won every single game, Battle of the Bench. And those two guys in particular just kept elevating. Yeah. And Norman Powell as well. Those three guys stepped up, and that's the main reason they're sitting in the finals besides Kawhi Leonard.
So. Yeah.
And Kyle played pretty well too. I'll give him
credit. You got to give Kyle. He's been up and down. He'll have a 30-point game, and then he'll have a 10-point game. And you're like, what the hell's going on?
But he's the heartbeat of that team.
Yeah,
he might not be the best player on that team, but he's the heartbeat. He's the heart and soul that keeps him driving forward.
So,
yeah, definitely. You want to get this before we go to break, or want to get this on the other side, Nick? Okay, let's get this before we go to break. Joe wants to talk a little bit about the Rockets. Joe, what's up?
Let me turn my radio off.
Okay.
My question is, how much do you put on Chris Paul and James Harden, that argument they had in the locker room? Joe, I know you know more about, the inside of the Rockets.
Yeah, it's interesting, Joe, and it's going to get more interesting. We can talk about it on the other side as well, but that argument and what was reported from people I've talked to in and around what happened, there's some validity to it, and more of it took place in the game than after the game, but because of what happened in the game, it spilled over to after the game, and it's continuing to go on, so we'll talk about a little bit of what the Rockets do going forward.
For the record, since neither one of you a-holes asked, I'll take Warriors and six, jerks.
Isn't it normally how it goes that you quiz us, and then at the end, you give your predictions?
It's not my fault that I'm the one that just has to come up with the questions. If you would have asked the questions, then guess what? The roles would be reversed. But how many times do you ask those questions?
All the time. All the time.
Then why is this the same argument that we have every time about this?
Because your feelings got hurt. That's why.
Because you guys are jerks.
See?
No one even bothered to ask me my opinion. This is what it's like to be married.
You know who aren't jerks?
What?
Get Upside people.
Hey, look at you. You professional radio guy. You guys, check out Get Upside if you haven't downloaded it yet. You are missing out, man. Do not miss out on free money. Do not leave money at the pump. Do not leave money at the table. Download Get Upside right now to your phone. It's completely free to do that. Put in my promo code Barry, B-A-R-R-Y. That's going to get you extra savings, extra cash back on your first fill-up. And you can look at it two different ways. It's savings because you're getting the money back, so you're saving that money. But, man, there's no better feeling than knowing you're sitting there filling up and you're like, yep, I could be getting up to 25 cents a gallon on every fill-up if I'm using the app. And it's so easy to use. It's all done based on a map. So you have the Get Upside app on your phone and you're like, all right, I got to fill up today on the way home. What gas stations in my area are offering cash back offers through GetUpside. And then they show it to you. And then you pick one, you go there, you pay with a debit or credit card, upload the receipt. It's that easy. You're literally doing all of that anyways, except for uploading the receipt. That, trust me, that could not be easier. You just take a picture of it with your phone. It scans it. It uploads it. 24 hours later, boom, you got money back in your account. And I, trust me, when I tell you that this stuff works, listeners, besides what I do and AJ and Nick and my wife and other people at the station and friends of mine and family members that are using GetUpside, listeners are sending me screenshots of their cash back. We have one listener who has over $200 in their account. Now, I'm not going to tell you that you're going to get $200 just filling up every day, because they do the fill-ups. They do the cash back through the food offers where you can get up to 35% cash back. And they've also referred friends. And that's a great way to get easy money back into your account. When you get your friends to use GetUpside, you'll get bonus savings and cash back through your friends as well. Not a requirement. You don't have to use it to get do that with your friends to get cash back, but it absolutely works and it starts to pile up really quickly. Go check it out. It's called GetUpside. Put in my promo code Barry. Get that extra savings. Get that cash back. Thank me later.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome back as we plow through the final hour of The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Want to thank all you people, suspects and otherwise, that have come out to support and sponsor our golf tournament that we are calling the 2019 ESPN 97.5 Occasional Invitational. Presented by Twin Peaks, benefiting Jeff Van Gundy's favorite charity, ProVision. As we mentioned, the tournament would not be possible without our great sponsors like Wildcat Golf Club, Twin Peaks, St. Arnold Brewing Company, Texadelphia, Fajita Pete's, Transwestern, Texas Citizens Bank, and Gust Buster Umbrellas. All spots are full, but you can still donate to the kids at ProVision and make a difference. And by the way, come hang out with us because we will be in the clubhouse broadcasting all day, because those of us that they don't care enough about don't get to golf, but we do get to work. So we will be working the entire day while others will be gallivanting around on 18 holes of Coors Light and other things, if you know what I'm saying. But hey, we're going to be there, so be there for us. You can go to ESPN975.com for all of the information on how to donate. There
you go. I did find it interesting. I thought for sure, as big of a golfer as you are, that they would somehow switch someone with you on this show and let you golf. And then maybe put Raheel in the afternoon with me or something.
No, Barry, because that would mean that there's compassion and a heart. And no, the heartbeat is not about that. So that doesn't happen. No.
Wow.
Nope.
Whose idea was it to not let you golf?
Coincidentally, I'm talking to a prospective sponsor in the golf business tomorrow.
But
that would make less sense.
So when is this occasional? By the way, why did we call it the Occasional Invitational?
That you'll have to ask your favorite number one fan club member, Courtney, about.
You leave Courtney alone.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Don't pick on her.
Well, you'll get the invite to the wedding. That'll be good.
You leave her alone. So we don't know why it was called. Is it just because occasionally we
have
a golf tournament?
I think because occasionally we have an idea that we actually see through and it comes to fruition like a golf tournament.
Props to Courtney, man. She pulled this off and it's a big deal.
I think we're going to call them the occasional t-shirts too.
Because are we?
If they see it through, we'll get them. How about that?
About that, eh?
How about that? So before the break. Caller was talking a little bit about the Rockets, okay? So we teased it a little bit, but I think the bigger thing, if you're a Rockets fan, that you really got to take into consideration, there were some moves made that you know nothing about because they weren't big enough names like Roy Rogers or Bezdelic that were either not offered contracts or were let go. But there was a lot of other people behind the scenes that were also sent walking, people that had been there a long time, put in a whole lot of service, people that were dedicated to the organization that were just shut down. And that is going to be an issue. And it's going to be an issue because right now there is a huge power struggle in my mind going on Polk Street. And they've got to figure out between the owner, the general manager, and James Harden, whose team is it? who's running it going forward, and can they all peacefully get along with whatever decisions are made? Because you got to believe Tillman at some point with his passion is going to have some kind of take some kind of precedence over everything. But at the same time, when you look at what's going on and the fact that we already know that they're cap-strung going forward, there's going to be some tough decisions that have to be made. Some of them already have been made. And the others that were, depending on who you talk to, and I've talked to a lot of people that have said that there's a real power struggle going on right now with the future of their head coach. And that whether it was Daryl or Tillman, Tillman or Daryl, one wanted him gone, one wants him to stay. The other one has decided that the power play is they don't want to extend him. They weren't real happy when Mike or his agent came out and said, not only is he willing to keep coaching, he wants a 3-year extension, because then they look like the bad guy if they don't give it to him. So the challenge now is they take away all of his guys that were loyal to him, that he was loyal to, and say, let's see what your next move is. Do you say that you don't want to get rid of those guys, so you go too? Which has been his track record in other destinations when things have not worked out well. Mm-hmm. Or does he tough it out? Does he take the hard stand of, no, I want the extension, and then it could get messy. And the bigger thing, like I told you a week ago, is who they fill for those assistant coaching roles is going to play a big role in how they see Mike D'Antoni. Because if they put a frontline guy, because the one rumor that came out this morning was they wanted Tyronn Lue, and he decided that he wants to pursue a head coaching job.
Oh, really?
If you put an ex-NBA champion coach as your number one assistant, you're basically saying, I've got your replacement in waiting, and D'Antoni will be looking over his shoulder all year. Mm. So those are things you got to take into consideration.
You sold on Tyronn Lue?
I'm not.
I'm not either. I don't understand the appeal of him.
Well, from a Lakers perspective, it's because he's a LeBron guy.
Well, of course.
And they peacefully coexisted.
I was about to say, you saw that what happened as soon as LeBron left, that team was no good and neither was he, and he was out the door.
Correct.
Like, what is the attraction then of having him on a team that doesn't have LeBron?
You don't have to deal with all of the other extras that are surrounding LeBron James when he's on your team. From his
But is he that good enough of a coach to warrant the opportunity?
It doesn't matter when you have the best player on the planet and he keep him happy. Because one thing you don't want to do is take the guy that you literally, with all the mess that you're hearing about with the Lakers.
I'm talking about for the Rockets.
Oh,
I'm not talking about the Lakers. I'm talking about the Rockets.
Well, but think about this.
Does it take? Do you take that chance? Look, he's not an Eric Spoelstra. Eric Spoelstra has proven his mettle after LeBron left to be a good basketball coach. Well, Brad Stevens never had LeBron James.
No, but you know what? He's had to deal with a mega, mega ego like Kyrie Irving.
Sure, but I'm just saying, when you look at, there's two guys that have had the recent history that have had the luxury of having LeBron James on their team to elevate right. them as a coach and make them look better. And the difference is one of them was able to keep his job and still do well.
So if,
the
okay.
other one wasn't.
So if you guys want to take the pros and cons, if you're looking at a Tyronn Lue, pro, he's dealt with a mega super ego with and the talent to back it up in LeBron James so that he can probably deal with James Harden. And James Harden would have to respect him from the simple fact that he's won a championship with LeBron James. So he can do that. I would say that's positive. You're not?
Do you really think that they put a lot of stock in that? I mean, I think most people.
Barry, look
I think most. No. I'm saying like James and those guys. I'm sure that being able to manage a huge ego is a big plus to a guy like Daryl Morey or Tillman Fertitta.
Let me tell you why it's valuable.
That's
because the other alternative.
James Harden isn't looking as Tyronn Lue is coming in. If anything, he's already getting his way with Mike D'Antoni. Why would he want to change it?
Right. So here's the deal. Maybe James is a very, very. Me first guy in a lot of ways,
what?
Right?
No
so
way.
So the thing is he likes a lot of things about Mike D'Antoni, but when they don't win at the end of the year and there's people that are pointing fingers and some of them involve him in the offense and other things, then he wants the best of Mike D'Antoni, but he wants enough change. So the next Mike D'Antoni is what he wants with a tweak here or there. You'd rather have Tyronn Lue if you're James Harden than you'd have Tom Thibodeau. Because if you take Tom Thibodeau, now you're taking a guy that has championship pedigree.
Sure.
That's going to be a dictator, a hard ass, and a my way or the highway guy. And James ain't wanting to give up all that.
No.
So that's where the difference lies in the fact that at least you get a guy. And these guys all talk. They'll pick up the phone and they'll say, hey, you know, what was it like playing under Tyronn Lue? And, you know, you'll get a real honest assessment from guys that played for him. Some guys who played minutes and were meaningful pieces on that team will say, good dude, you know. He, yeah, sure, LeBron had his input on everything, but when push came to shove, he was the guy that made the whole thing go. Maybe you'll get the flip side. So
I don't know. I don't know that it's worth the risk. If we were talking about on Eric Spoelstra, then I'd be like, yep. But Tyronn Lue's just to me.
But here's the thing.
I don't see the attraction unless you have a LeBron James on your team.
It's a catch-22 because the fans and obviously the owner want change. But when you have four guys soaking up 95 mil, you can't get the Jimmy Butlers of the world and the change that people are clamoring for. So instead, do you just say, okay, well, the change we can make is the coaching staff? Mm. Or do you, and again, do you try and put your replacement for him on the coaching staff so that you can say he's adding to what Mike lacks in terms of Mike being an offensive coach? You add a more defensive-minded guy or a guy that can do this or do that. But at the end of the day, is D'Antoni going, I don't like it. I don't feel comfortable because this guy's going to be taking my job if things don't go well.
Yeah.
So they got a lot of decisions to make over there, and it sounds like it's going to be a turbulent offseason.
For a team that's so close, there sure is a lot of turmoil.
No doubt about it. And I will say this, of the guys they got rid of.
Let's be real. Of every team in the West, is there a team outside of Golden State, is there a team closer right now in the West?
I don't think so.
And then look at all this turmoil.
Well, I take that back.
They might get worse going into next year, which means this will be the third year in a row that they've, or the second year in a row that they've gotten worse from the previous year.
I take it back. There is a team.
Who?
As long as Nurkic is healthy, I think Portland surpasses Houston going into next season because they still have flexibility financially. I think Portland can surpass the Rockets.
Okay.
That's interesting. That's pretty interesting. It's going to be an interesting dynamic only because I believe a lot of the reason why there is turmoil is because this was such a high expectation year. They're obviously, to a certain extent, let's be real, they're genuinely upset because they know they should have been done better.
Yeah.
So it's going to, I can see how that translates. Hopefully they can, you know, James Harden's personality has developed enough to the point where he can get past this little situation with Chris Paul and it doesn't necessarily affect next season. But that's yet to be determined.
There's one thing about James Harden that drives me insane.
Well, the State Farm commercials?
I know we got to go to break. And it might seem petty. Petty alert. I'll tell you on the other side.
He burnt down Chris Paul's kitchen?
No. That was clutch, wasn't it? Oh, no.
No, he put the windows out.
Yeah.
All right, we'll be back for the final half hour of the show. Don't go anywhere. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, 30 minutes on the clock. We'll take you till 4. Blitz takes you till 7. You just keep listening till your heart's content right here on ESPN 97.5. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel on a Tuesday. Oh, boy, fellas. Can't believe this didn't hit me sooner. You know what that means.
It means we're going to be doing songs from 2006 because I ain't coming up with a topic, and Nick's lazy ass ain't going to get more creative than
that. What's wrong with 2006?
I'll come up with one, and y'all will shoot it down. So.
Huh?
And I'll come up with one, and y'all will shoot it down, so... It'll be an interesting dialogue that takes place between the three of us between now and tomorrow's show to figure out what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I have no good ideas. Like, zero.
Really?
Zero.
So but 2006 like
is available. We can always choose that year.
Well, based on your math, weren't we going to do that last week?
That's what I'm saying.
Which year was it? Was it 05 or 06?
See?
Jesus.
And you gave him credit as the analytics guy.
Oh, good Lord.
You're what so was it? Disappointing. Did we do 07?
We did 2007.
Okay, so it's 06 this week.
Yeah.
Okay.
And half my songs were from the wrong year anyway, so just use my list from last week.
I know.
It's probably true.
All right, the one thing that drives me crazy about James Harden, and I get it that he's not the only one that does this, because I'm sure guys like LeBron are too, but it's just, to me, it's a little much that he's surrounded by his guys, his boys. I don't know if this is a handler or security, but there are certain guys that whenever James goes somewhere, they're there. Like they get seats next to the
Hispanic dude that's buff with the suit.
One is Chris's security guy and one is James's security guy.
No, there's the one guy, I don't know who he is, but when we're in the media room, he comes in with James. He leaves with James. You see him courtside. You see him like all over the place. And it's like, is it that serious that you have to have this guy go to meet with the media?
So
really,
essentially,
is someone in the media going to attack you?
Essentially, and this is all the way back
a little
to
much.
What happened was it started when the Rockets got Dwight Howard. Dwight Howard had a guy that was his quote unquote security guy. Guy that he had grown up with, but it was a bigger, stronger
dude. This
guy
comes in holding James's drink and stuff. I'm like, really?
So that started it. So when Dwight came in and had his guy, what's James going to say? Well, then I want a guy. Jesus. So then James went and got originally Kobe's ex-security guy, who also worked for the Rolling Stones. Great guy and really good at what he did. And then they had a falling out, and he brought in another guy. And then that guy after a year wasn't but essentially what it's become is Chris has a guy. James has a guy. The team has a guy that represents the rest of the team security-wise.
Who's the guy with the cornrows? Is that...
I don't know who that is. I just know he's always in the locker room. He's always like... He's definitely a part of the Harden camp. I just don't know who he is.
See, that's the whole thing.
Is he a bigger guy?
No, he's not.
Dude, you're a basketball player at a basketball game. Why does your camp need to be there? Why do you need all of those people to go with you to a media, to a press conference? I get it. It's just why I prefaced this and said up front, I know James isn't the only one. LeBron, and there are others too. But why do you need a whole camp to do a press conference? Why do you need a whole camp to walk to and from the court to the locker room and everything else? Why aren't those guys just waiting for you after the game?
My only guess, and I'm not necessarily saying that they should have a guy. I'm just saying that, you know, to serve as a buffer. You know, and not necessarily just against the media. Believe it or not, superstars are annoyed by former players, former teammates.
Oh, no doubt.
They're being asked for autographs by players they were on the same team with 7.5 seasons ago. My only guess is a buffer. I'm not necessarily saying that they should have the guy. Yeah. I'm just saying that's my only guess.
Let me tell you this. With Charles was one of the first to have his own security with good reason, because Charles was out in bar fights.
Controversial,
and, right, and doing all those things. James Haywood was his guy. He started out as his guy. The team hired him during Charles's years with the Rockets. He, to this day, is Charles' security guy that goes with him wherever he goes. And James taught us a ton in hanging out with him and stuff like that. But you're right, because a lot of times a security guy would facilitate, hey, I won't name names, but at the All-Star game, a certain celebrity All-Star basketball player was in tears because Charles was critical of him. And he didn't have the you-know-whats to go talk to Charles directly. So his security guy got with Charles' security guy to let him know,
oh my God,
hey, he's really upset. Can you come talk to him?
That's silly.
And Charles was like, seriously, bro, you can't just come to me? Because that's what I would do. But that's the new age of superstar.
But
that's what I'm saying. This is where it started. So now your new age of superstar, everybody says, just like when Tracy McGrady was the first one to have his own plane. Okay? That was a new check mark on the list of when you've reached the ultimate status in the NBA. You have to have your own security guy. You have to have your own entourage. You got to have your own, you know, all these different things line up with being a max
And these
guy.
Guys would be in the media room with them?
Follow them everywhere.
Yeah.
Because you know what? Ridiculous. The last thing that you could have happen is someone that gets a media pass attacks your guy or does something to your guy and you're not there.
Oh, God.
That's I've even seen once he was asked
the guys just don't get media passes.
Oh, yes,
trust
they
me.
Do.
Hell no, but the people at this station don't get media passes, and we're in the media.
But it doesn't matter. If someone
Although
calls
I will
up,
say at the Astros game, there was just some rando in the press box who had his phone set up. You know how they have that little bar thing in front of all the seats?
Yep.
He had his phone on there, and I walked by him to go to the bathroom, and he had it on selfie cam, and he was videoing himself watching the game. That's got to be the most boring. Just watching baseball is boring. Watching a video of someone watching baseball has to be the most boring thing ever.
Let me give you an example.
What are you doing, you weirdo?
Of why?
Why are you here?
People, you're wrong about the outside, out-of-town media coming in.
It's past your bedtime.
The Rockets folks don't do, nor any NBA team, really, for that matter. They don't do they don't have the time to do the research when some guy says, I cover the Warriors for this place. And it's not... you know, the newspaper or one of the TV or radio stations, but you don't really take the time when you get all those requests and say, you may check with the Warriors, but the Warriors probably give this guy a pass, or maybe they don't, and you go, hey, I'm the beat writer for the Warriors for this. And unless you really take the time to go look at the background of what this is, there were guys that showed up with friends of mine that used to work for the Rockets that said they covered the Warriors and were the beat writer. And I really, oh, it's a blog spot website. Mm-hmm. But he had a full credential for the entire Rockets Warriors series.
Mm.
So well, you can get him.
Yeah, but he's still, he's doing something. It's not just like some guy that wants to attack James Harden is going to get a credential. That's a little much. Because people like that are psycho and they don't think that far ahead. They're just weirdos. I don't know. I feel like it's a little much, but
security guys got a big role these days with these guys too, because they become, like you said, personal assistants. They're bringing them, you know, what they need on
don't,
the side.
Joel, don't ever get so big that you have to have your own security.
That's you, Mr. World Famous Comedian, not me.
Somebody said for a theme for Way Back Wednesday, songs from the two cities in the NBA Finals.
Oh, boy.
Golden State and Toronto?
Oakland and Toronto. Or I guess you could go San Francisco. You could do Bay Area. What if we did Bay Area and Canada instead of just Toronto?
Is Drake Canada?
Yes.
But Drake doesn't have Toronto. Anything pre-2009.
Yeah, he does.
What do you get, the Lumineers?
Are they?
Who's from Canada? I think. The Lumineers?
Are they really from Canada? I didn't know that.
Now watch, we're going to get just overloaded with Canadian bands.
Yeah. Pink Valkyrie said songs should be songs that came out after a major group member left.
Huh?
Why is that relevant? What'd I miss?
I don't know. Leave a band that we're not aware of?
I don't know.
No, like band members change and they continue to be successful.
After a major group member left. I don't know why that would
correlation?
Be gross. I don't know.
We need more from you, Pink Valkyrie. Yeah.
Clarification, please.
Yep.
But so far, I like Bay Area and Canada. We could swing that. That's not bad.
Stone Temple Pilots had their lead singer leave, so to speak, when we did that.
Yeah, that's right.
So go.
Because there's plenty of artists from both that we could. Brian Adams is Canadian.
Oh, that's a good call.
Justin Bieber is Canadian. Drake is Canadian.
Brian Adams is a good call.
Yeah.
Forgot about that.
Brian Adams. Yeah. So
there you go. There's your song.
We got that. Yeah. We've got, what, Too Short, MC Hammer, Digital Underground, Amp Bangs, E-40, and The Click.
E-40 still.
So there's a lot of Oaktown 357, MC Hammer.
Juicy's got them crazy.
Yeah. There's plenty of
them. Driving crazy. Yeah,
we could do that. Easy.
So far, Nick doesn't see any spot where he can get that list together.
Understand any of what we just said. That might have all been in a different language to him.
I like Brian Adams.
Do you? What's your favorite
Summer
Brian Adams
69.
Song?
Summer 69. Oh, my God. He's going to
look into my eyes.
Yeah. Did you Google that?
Growing up now.
No, actually, I...
He got inspired after Aladdin.
I know the song. Okay.
He got inspired after Aladdin wanted all the juicy Disney-like love songs.
I don't know if the song was
after
in Aladdin.
After Aladdin, it was Summer of 68 and Show Only One.
But I think this was chick flick.
You don't like Brian Adams?
I hate him.
Really?
Never been a fan.
But what about that particular song?
That one's okay.
But you know what? For you, it works perfectly. Yeah. It should be number one on
your
list.
That one's a good song, but Summer of 69 is a really good song.
Hate that song.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Go ahead and take your first real six string. Take it somewhere else so I don't have to hear it. How about that?
And then he goes through all the band. One quit. One got married.
Billy got married. Jimmy, whoever. Tell you what, if you guys are looking for a good selection when you're talking about your energy company, I'm here to tell you right now about the good people at Infuse Energy. Josh Pesikoff and his staff do a fantastic job. They're locally owned and operated, which means they're going to concentrate on you, Houstonians, who are just looking for the best possible rate and the best possible deal they can get on their energy. Whether it be for your business or for your home, they're going to take care of you. And the first thing you're going to find out is when you call 844-INFUSE2, 844-463-8732, you're not going to get some automated system that's going to drive you nuts, have you screaming at your phone, trying to get the right prompt to take place. You're going to get a human being, and they're going to ask you as many questions as you ask them, because their sole purpose is to try and find out all the answers to their questions so they can give you the best rate that you can possibly get, and that's what you're after at the end of the day anyway. It's affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. It's also 100% green energy at your fingertips. You sign up, you choose a green plan, it offsets your electricity use with renewable energy credits. That helps decrease your carbon footprint, so you're making a difference as you're getting the best deal you possibly can. It's a fantastic deal. You mentioned ESPN 97.5, and right off the top, you save $25 with a bill credit, and they go from there. They're going to be honest with you, trustworthy with you, and they're going to speak to you throughout the process so you don't get frustrated by an automated system. Check them out. Again, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Infuse energy into your life.
Here's a
of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
Is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, this song sucks.
I like to honor requests. I'm giving what the people want.
Hell you do.
Suck.
Everybody in the city of Houston wanted me to play this song.
Everybody.
At this very segment.
All 6 million of them.
Yep.
I saw the text. There were 6 million texts flooded the inbox.
Another karaoke song, too, by the way.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, a lot of people like to sing this at karaoke bars.
You're
sure.
Not one of them, or you are?
No. I don't do karaoke.
Oh.
I'm just saying. Okay.
Barry, you screaming this one at the top of your lungs when you're racing down the Hardy Toll Road?
No, this isn't a top of the lungs, windows up kind of song. It's a decent song.
No, it's really not.
It's just not one that, I mean, it comes on 80s on 8. I think it was 80s. Did 80, it? 89?
Let's find
86,
out.
89?
Didn't Bryan Adams have like a complexion that looked more like a Baja course?
Somebody said he married a hot model.
Well, good for him.
No, I didn't think Bryan Adams had a
84.
Mm-hmm. I didn't think Bryan Adams had a Edward James almost type face.
I thought you were going to go Seal on me.
No.
Okay.
Alicia Grimaldi.
Is that his wife?
Is she hot, Nick?
Been married since 2009. Yeah, she's pretty.
Yeah, I don't see the. Maybe it is. I don't know. He looks old, but he is old.
You
hell.
Can airbrush that, Barry.
That's true. Oh wait. Oh boy. You might be right.
She's 38.
Yep.
That is rough.
Yep.
Damn, Brian.
I was never a Bryan Adams fan. I know he was popular back in the day.
He was popular. Good musician. Again, not great. Not one of the all times, but is his wife hot? What was her name?
Grimaldi.
Alicia Grimaldi.
I'm going to need you to spell that.
A-L-I-C-I-A. And then Grimaldi, G-R-I-M-A-L-D-I.
And Barry's survey says?
Nope. Not,
I mean, she's 38. I would imagine he's in his 60s.
She looks like.
Oh, she's all right.
I mean,
she's pretty.
Yeah.
I mean, he's 59.
She looks like she works in the dress department at Macy's.
Here you go.
What?
You always got to put
giving an honest
a stereotypical
assessment.
Label on him.
No, I'm just giving an honest assessment. She looks like if you're out shopping with your wife and your
you
wife
know, if you
is
open
like
a Macy's charge card today, you can exactly. save 15% on your purchase.
Alicia Grimaldi would save you an extra 10% on your next purchase at Macy's.
Better family. It sounds like the family pizza place.
What?
Grimaldi's.
Yeah,
that does.
Just had pizza from there last weekend.
Yay or nay?
Very good. Okay. Very good spot.
There you go.
Excellent. Yeah. All right. Let's. I don't know what this is about.
I don't either.
Let's
Jonathan, just get it out of the way. We didn't talk about Carlos Correa today, but says what's on your mind. Okay, let's go.
I'm wondering, though, before he says it, I'm guessing maybe it's because Correa has his own people surrounding him.
Or he's the best,
that has something
best
to
pitcher
do with
in Astros history.
Oh, no. I don't know if that's it. All right. Jonathan, what's up, man? Jonathan.
Hey, yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
What's up, man?
Hey, what's going on? Hey, yeah, I just wanted to ask a question real quick about Carlos Correa. I saw on Twitter a few minutes ago that he's not in the lineup again for the second day in a row, and I was just wondering if you guys maybe knew what was going on or if maybe there's an issue that the organization is trying to hide, because you're not going to have two out of the four superstars on your team not play, being on the IL, and then sit him. So I was just wondering if y'all had any information as to what's probably going on with him.
I don't think we'll find anything out unless AJ is questioned about it. AJ Hinch in his pregame meet with the media, which Nick, correct me if I'm wrong, happens about what, 5 o'clock?
Yeah, AJ Hinch talks at, like, if it's a 7 o'clock start, he talks at 3.
Okay, so maybe there's been something where the audio will be coming out soon from AJ Hinch, but I hadn't heard anything.
No, I haven't either. It's probably, my guess is right now that it's, you know, a nagging injury situation or some soreness or something like that.
Yeah, because you don't think he'd look to rest him against the Cubs. But AJ's been pretty diligent about the fact that it doesn't matter who they're playing. If he feels like a guy has had too many games in a row, he'll sit him.
Yeah, but not 2 days in a row. I mean, heck, guys like Jake Kaplan don't have anything. Brian McTaggart, just all he did was tweet out the lineup and say Carlos Correa out again. Jonathan, I wouldn't look too much into it where you're like, oh, this is maybe a breakdown in contract negotiations and they're mad. Let me tell you something about that kind of stuff. At the end of the day, those guys are still professional. And they don't want to let down the other 24 guys in that clubhouse. They don't want to let down their manager and vice versa. I don't care if contract negotiations were going bad. AJ Hinch has a job to do, and his job's on the line if they fail. He's not going to sit a guy for bad contract negotiations. No, so don't look anything into that kind of stuff. I would be more worried about,
I think
this
it's
a
more
nagging injury
related. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Especially with all the injuries that they've gone through recently. Of course, Diaz, after struggling a little bit with the hammy, it flares again and he's on the IL. We know Springer's on the IL. Altuve is doing his rehab stint now before he comes back, but hopefully all signs are pointing to him being back very soon. But when you look at all the different things, the one consistent factor that you just have to feel good about is two things. One, nothing is like season ending or really severe. They're just nagging injuries. And two, the team just keeps winning no matter who's playing. Mm-hmm. You put a guy named Mayfield in there that wasn't Baker that got his first major league hit yesterday.
Wrong OU
and you
Mayfield.
Beat the division leading Chicago Cubs.
Yeah. Yeah. And I looked at Chandler Rome as well. Carlos Correa is not in the Astros lineup for a second straight day. So no details, just the fact that he's not in the lineup.
Cleanliness next to godliness. That's all I'm saying.
Don't.
I'm not. That's all I'm saying. You with me, Nick? Okay. With that being said, hey, just to worry about your team winning. As long as they keep. Now, I'm interested to watch Corbin Martin tonight.
That's going to be interesting, yeah. And in fact, on Chandler Rome's Twitter account, I don't know why we're giving him so much love, but he does have a Chronicle article about basically Corbin Martin maybe making some slight mechanical adjustments.
Well, let's hope they're effective.
Yeah.
Not like his last outing, which was not effective. So keep an eye on that. Of course, you can keep an eye on the fact Correa out of the lineup, but hopefully they keep winning and keep that consistency alive. But for the most part, hey, great show again today, fellas. We were consistently good, and hopefully we're going to get better throughout the rest of the week. That means another show tomorrow, Way Back Wednesday, and I guess it's official. We're going with bands from Canada.
The Bay Area. And Canada. Look for my list at 4:15.
Can't wait for Pink Valkyrie's explanation of what the suggestion she made.
Yeah, that was weird.
It was very awkward. Okay. For Nick and Barry, I'm Joel. Have a great night, everybody. Stay tuned. The Blitz is next right here on ESPN 97.5.
Then I didn't know if they sniffed their own farts or not. Yeah,
boy. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.